The federal budget could be back in balance as soon as this year, largely on the back of better-than-expected tax receipts. But Treasurer Josh Frydenberg is hosing down expectations of a pre-election spending spree, and he's urging restraint in case there's another financial downturn fueled by the US-China trade war and historically high global levels of debt. Josh Frydenberg has just returned from talks with G20 finance leaders. He joins us in Melbourne. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Nice to be with you, Frank.
Treasurer, economic forecasters are tipping the budget could be back in balance this year, 12 months ahead of schedule. Do you agree? Could the budget be back in balance or better more than a year earlier than forecast?
Well, there's no doubt the economy's in good shape. We've just had our AAA credit rating reaffirmed. We've announced the smallest budget deficit in a decade. And the recent national accounts showed that the Australian economy was growing at 3.4% through the year, which is its fastest rate since the height of the mining boom and faster than any G7 country. That being said, Fran, we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. We're on track to bring the budget back into balance in 2019-20, which is a year earlier than expected. And the next major economic statement from the government will be the national accounts in December, followed by the mid-year economic and fiscal outlook.
Okay, these figures do take a bit of the pressure off, though. 7 months out from an election, you're still behind the polls in a long way, by a long way. Will you be able to resist the temptation to try and spend your way out of trouble?
Well, there are some additional spending measures that we've already announced.
There's a lot of them.
Including for education, helping the drought-stricken communities, which is the first priority of the Morrison government, as well as some of the GST payments that we're ensuring Western Australia gets a better deal and we have a fairer system overall. All that being said, we are ensuring that fiscal discipline is maintained. The Australian economy does not run on autopilot. And when the voters in Wentworth go to the ballot this weekend, they need to ask themselves a question as to which government or which party can deliver the stability, the economic certainty, and the results. And there's no doubt we're doing that.
Let's just go to that spending, though. $3.2 billion to bring forward the small business tax cuts, the $9 billion in GST revenue over a decade, $4.6 billion for Catholic schools, $1.8 billion for drought assistance. Doesn't really look like spending constraint, and we're not even close to the election yet. Is the temptation going to be too much for you and your colleagues?
Well, certainly not. What we are focused on is continuing the strong economic plan that we have announced, and that is clearly working. I mean, having just come back from this global meeting of finance ministers, I can tell you Australia is the envy of the world. There's no complacency, but the steps that we have taken to reduce the rate of spending growth to the lowest level in 50 years, the steps that we have taken to ensure that those people of working age on welfare is the lowest number in 25 years. These things just do not happen by accident. They come from economic discipline and an economic plan.
Okay, we've seen you talk of headwinds in the global community. That was the talk around the finance minister's table at the G20. We saw some major falls in global markets last week. More volatility is predicted. How significant are these headwinds? Should we be bracing for another economic shock?
Well, certainly these headwinds are there. And they're more present than they were 6 months or a year ago. Australia is a trade-exposed, capital-importing nation. We have the fifth most traded currency in the world. So what happens globally really does impact us here at home. And particularly these trade tensions between the United States and China, we don't want them to get out of control. One in five Australian jobs, Fran, are related to trade, and China's our number one trading partner, and the United States is our number one investor. So I was pleading with my colleagues at this meeting to ensure that we maintain our support for an open, free and rules-based trading system.
And there's also, at this moment, interest rates across the globe at historically low levels. Global debt levels, though, are almost historically high. How well placed is the world, not so much Australia, but the rest of the world particularly, Australia too, though, to respond to another downturn?
Well, there isn't the same headroom that countries have to respond both with monetary policy and with fiscal policy than there was a decade ago. Again, Australia is better placed than most countries. But the impact of the normalisation of interest rates in the US, which has seen the US lift its interest rates 8 times since December 2015, is that we're starting to see the increased cost of debt servicing for some of these emerging economies and some capital outflows from them. We're also seeing some weakness, Fran, into major emerging economies like Turkey, like in Argentina, where their currencies have fallen by around 50% this year alone.
So how worried should we be?
I think we should be focused. I don't think we should be alarmed. I still think the Australian economy and the global economy are growing strongly. The International Monetary Fund put out its figures for global growth, and it's still at 3.7%, which is healthy. And global unemployment levels are at their lowest level in around a decade.
Your first set of GDP figures last month, as you just mentioned, were very good, 3.4% over the year. Yet today we learn that one in six Australian children is living in poverty. If the economy is in such good shape, why are these kids and their families still being left behind?
Well, there is definitely pockets of poverty around the country.
One in six Australian children. It's more than a pocket.
Well, can I just say what the Productivity Commission found when it reported?
Yeah, we reported on that here,
And importantly, it said that living, the quality of living, living standards had improved with every generation. It had said inequality had reduced in Australia since the GFC, and it said that our economic mobility in Australia was greater than what had occurred, than what was in existence in both the United States and in the United Kingdom. It also pointed out that there had been around 1% of the population that hadn't moved up any income percentiles in the last few decades. Now, that is an area, that's a cohort we need to focus on to ensure that these families and these people living in poverty get all the support through our welfare system and into a job as possible.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 18 past six. Our guest is the Federal Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Two opinion polls out today show the government's still behind. In the Fairfax poll, the government's behind 10 points, two-party preferred. In News poll, 6 points. The Fairfax poll also shows 74% of voters are opposed to allowing religious schools to discriminate against gay pupils and teachers. The government will legislate this week to ban religious schools from expelling gay or lesbian gay students. Labor says consideration should also be given to protecting LGBT teachers. Will the legislation be extended, or should it be extended, to cover teachers?
Look, these are negotiations that we will have both internally and with
what
the
do you think?
Opposition. Well, I don't think there's any room for discrimination, be it a student or against a teacher. But that being said, we need to work through this process with the Labor Party and ensure that we provide a bipartisan front to the country. But let's not forget, these laws allowed the discrimination against students were put in place by the Gillard government just a few days ago.
So that's not the point, though. The point is now, are they good laws or bad laws, and will you change them?
Well, Fran, 2 days ago, Tanya Plibersek was telling everybody that they weren't going to be changed.
And if Tanya Plibersek was here now, I'd be asking her the same question. I'm asking you as the Treasurer, what do you think?
Well, I don't think these laws are right. And I do think we need to ensure that there is no discrimination in either our workplaces or in our schools. That's my feeling. And, you know, we and Scott Morrison has made our position very, very clear here that we will be moving changes in the Parliament, and we will have our Attorney General be speaking to the Shadow Attorney General to ensure that this is a bipartisan position.
The Ruddock Report on Religious Freedoms was leaked ahead of the Wentworth by-election this week, which is this weekend. You've been campaigning in Wentworth recently. It's got a socially progressive population. How unhelpful has this debate been to the Liberals in Wentworth?
Well, look, the debate in Wentworth has veered from one issue to another over the course, as you would imagine, of the last month or so. But the reality is we have a contest there between David Sharma, who is an outstanding candidate and a former ambassador for our country, primarily with an independent who's pretending to be a Liberal who's certainly not. And if she is elected, then this will bring greater instability into the Parliament and will put in danger the economic reforms that we are rolling out across the country.
Just on Karen Phelps, you say she's pretending to be a Liberal and she's certainly not. The ads say that she's pretending to be a Labor, that she's a Labor stooge. She says she's an independent. That aside, if you lose a blue-chip Liberal seat like Wentworth, Well, it'd be for no other reason that the Liberal Party tore down yet again another Prime Minister. You've got no one else to blame but yourselves, do you?
Well, look, those issues have been dealt with in the media and certainly in the commentary. The reality is we've had a change of Prime Minister, and if you look at those polls that you're referring to, the people like what they see with Scott Morrison. He's leading as the preferred Prime Minister in all the major polls, and he's just getting started. He has been very active. He's established what our priorities are, and he has an agenda to take this country forward. In contrast, we have a Labor Party that is proposing $200 billion of new taxes. We've had speeches from the incoming President of the Labor Party, Wayne Swan, talking about wanting to tear down neoliberalism, the shadow assistant treasurer, quoting Ingalls with praise, and the Labor Party wanting to emulate the Corbyn and Sanders examples from around the world and to dispense with the legacy of Hawke and Keating. That's what the contest is going to be at the next election, about the economy and about having freedom in our workplace, in our community.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Josh Frydenberg is the Federal Treasurer. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 22 past 6.